Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
I want to talk to you today about being broken. And being broke. You know, I grew up broke. Anybody in here familiar with the term broke? Too poor to pay attention. And my dad kind of went for broke. He was a cop over here in Woodson Terrace by the airport. And so he felt the call of God on his life. And so he decided that he was going to sell everything he owned, which wasn't a lot. But we lived in a mobile home. I guess is what they call it. It's an actual home, like a trailer park, right? And it had wheels, which is kind of cool because if you don't love your neighbor as yourself, you can move. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. So he sold that thing. He figured out a place to trade it. So he traded the mobile home for a travel trailer, like a short one, about the length of this pod right here. And so you could actually walk out, you know. I didn't know you could do this. This is pretty cool. I'm out with you guys now. And so I lived in this travel trailer at 4 years old. So 4 years old, that's what he decided to do. He was going to go for broke. And so he sold everything. And he started going to these little churches. And they didn't have any money, and people, you know, necessarily, they didn't have much money at all, and so they couldn't really help you. And so I remember it would really break your pride when you would go to these churches, and they'd be like, hey, the Cranks are here this week for a revival, so we've got stuff they need. So they have this little piece of paper, and they're like, hey, who can give them mayonnaise? Who can give them bologna? Do we have any bologna? It'd take forever, because people didn't want to give. This is really embarrassing. Anybody give them toilet paper? Who will do that? And I'm like, I will steal toilet paper from the church. Just get out of here, right? But it was a breaking process. My dad was broken through this process, but he gave his life up for the ministry to change somebody's life. And it broke his pride. It actually put us in a position to where it made him read and study the Bible a lot. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you today about, is being broke, but being broken so that God can use you for more financially. And so first place we're going to go is Mark, over in the book of Mark, the 10th chapter, verse 17 says, now when he was going out down the road, one came running to him and said, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, notice it's red here, why do you call me good? There's no one good but the Lord. I've kept your commandments. You've heard these. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he answered and said to this, teacher, all these things I've kept since my youth. How many of y'all think he's doing better than we are? Come on, somebody else say amen. You bunch of heathens, I know you. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I've kept since my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Notice he wasn't mean. He loved him. And he said, one thing you lack. Everybody shout that loud and strong. One thing you lack. One more time. What?
One thing you lack.
One thing you lack. Go sell what you have. Give it to the poor. And you will have treasures in heaven. I want you to think about that. Treasures in heaven. I want you to say it so it registers your mind. Treasures in heaven. So there's a difference between treasures on earth and treasure in heaven. But verse 22 says, but he went away sad at that saying and sorrowful because he had great possessions. Or I always say, great possessions had him. Now, first of all, I always like to phrase it to say, I'm not against people having money. I think it's great if you have money, but I want to make sure that you have money and that money doesn't have you, because there is a difference. And so God wants to bless you with stuff, but it's not a blessing anymore if the stuff is actually taking you away from God. In fact, you've seen this with your kids. If you ever helped your kids get something really cool, maybe a video game, and it took them away from you. How many of y'all were happy about it because you were sick of them? Raise your hand. That'd be half the crowd. How many of y'all really wanted to visit with them? That'd be the other half of the crowd. Or you give a kid a car, and all of a sudden they're gone, right? So the blessor comes to bless us. So he's not against us having things. He's against things having us. And so Jesus looks at him and said, hey, it's great that you've done all these things, but there's one thing you lack. Go sell all you have and give it to the poor. And what it was a test of his heart. It wasn't that God wanted him broke. In fact, God was actually inspecting him. It was really a job interview, because Jesus knew that he had a Judas, and Judas was stealing out of the bag, so he was looking for a new CFO, a new financial officer of his organization, of Jesus Christ Evangelistic Association. He's looking, but he needs somebody that has a right relationship with money. He knew he was good with money, but the fact is he loved money, which, by the way, you can love money and not have any money. The Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. People say that money is the root of all evil. No, no, no. It's the love of money. Everybody shout, it's the love of money. So the next thing I want to draw your attention to is the fact that he says this will have an eternal difference. He said in that verse, I'll just read it to you one more time. He said it'll have a kingdom impact. It said, go and sell what you have, give it to the poor, that you will have treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven. Now, someday you're going to go to heaven. Raise your hand if you want to go to heaven. Come on, raise it high. How many of y'all, though, you don't want to go now? All right. So when you get to heaven, there will be treasures in heaven. Now, here's what I watch some rich people do, because I pastor all kinds of people. I pastor people who make $30,000 a year, $50,000 a year. Some of them make $1 million every 7 days through their company. So all over the scale, right? So I got these two different kinds of worlds. And here's what happens when people get a lot of money. They start kind of wanting to change who not only they are, but their associations. And I understand associations do change a lot because, you know, if you grow up on the Black River, all your friends are on the Black River. You grew up on the Mississippi River, all your friends are on the Mississippi River. And if you grew up at the Ritz-Carlton in Beverly Hills, then all your friends are going to be in that area. Does that make sense? So I understand that, but there's a dynamic oftentimes that happens with rich people, and this is what was happening here. With rich people sometimes, and you might be saying, I'm not rich. Well, first of all, you are rich if you slept in a bed last night. Raise your hand if you slept in a bed. No, that's way more than most population. How many of y'all had a pillow on the bed? Raise your hand if you. How many women in here, you had like 19,000 pillows on the bed, right? All right, so we're really blessed. How many of y'all had indoor plumbing, right? How many of y'all didn't have to walk 12 miles to a well? You actually had water coming out of the faucet. So we're rich, but I'm talking about some people, I've watched them really get blessed, and what they do is they start giving to organizations that don't have a kingdom impact. Remember it said treasures in heaven. Treasure in heaven is only when you give for God and the gospel's sake to move the needle forward for souls that are dying. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now and go into hell. So when you give to a church, number one, you don't give to a church here. Some churches you go to, you give to it because they're like needy. We need air conditioning units. We need this. If you guys don't give, we're gonna, we're not gonna be able to pave the parking lot. Our church does really well with money, so we don't ever do that. We don't have you give out of need, so therefore you don't give to the church, you give through the church. So that's why we showed you the video a minute ago. When you give here, it goes to help the poor. It goes to do world missions. It goes to rescue girls out of sex trafficking. It goes to drill wells around the world. It goes to buy ambulances in Haiti. Somebody ought to shout amen. So together, we're powerful. Everybody shout, together, we're powerful. So Jesus was looking at this man and he said, one thing you lack, rich young ruler, one thing you lack, go sell what you have and give to the poor. What Jesus was trying to do, and I want you to pay attention right now, big time, he was trying to break him of trusting in money. You've got to understand that God is ultimately your source. He is the source. Now he might use multiple sources in your life. You might have a job. He might have somebody bless you. You might have stocks and bonds. Goodness comes to you. Maybe Nicole and I, when we bought our condo in Florida, God just blessed us, and we bought it really, really low right after the crash of 08. And then when we sold it, we made $300,000. And so that was really a blessing. Our house that I've told you about a lot of times, we bought it for $175,000, sold it for $1 million. That's the source bringing multiple streams of incomes of sources to you. And if you have a right relationship with God and a right relationship with money, he'll bless you because he knows that you'll be a blessor to help people. Somebody ought to shout amen to this. But what I don't want you to do is think broke. Now remember, I told you that I've been broke, then I've been broken. But I don't want you to think broke. Now if you think broke, it looks like this. Everything has to be half off. That's why Nicole married me. Come on, somebody, I was half off. Okay, so we think, I can only buy, now I'm all for buying things half off. But I don't want you to think that you don't deserve good, that you don't belong here. So when you go to a mall or something and there's people there, my dad grew up that way where I'd go to Frontenac Mall and he'd say, we don't belong here. I feel awkward here. We're not dressed right for this, whatever. And he felt weird. You see, I got blessed and had money and I still dress the same way. So I can walk through the mall in a pair of jeans that I got from H&M that have holes in it for $19 and feel just as special as somebody who had to pay $3,000 for a pair of jeans. You see what I'm saying? And I just walk through there because guess what? I know who I am. I know that I'm blessed. I'm a child of God. So I'm just telling you that you are not a second-class citizen. So never ever think you're broke. Because sometimes people tell me this. They say, well, I feel insecure because of my education. Everybody knows something that somebody else don't know. So they might know how to, you know, do plastic surgery and you don't. They might know how to do this mathematical equation and you don't. But do they know how to walk through the hood and not get shot? Come on, somebody ought to say, there's different people know different things. Somebody ought to help me right now. I said, street smart. Everybody shout, street smart. There's more than one way to be smart. Oh, Lord, I'm preaching good. So God looked at him and he said, hey, one thing you lack, you need to sell what you have, give it to the poor, so that you will have treasures in heaven. God was trying to break him. Break him. And I want to break you of thinking that you're never going to have enough. I want to break you of thinking you got to hold on to what you have. I want you to think abundance. I want you to think opportunity. And it's a stretching game. Let's talk about that. You've heard me say it before. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Speaking of yachts, I was on one when I went to buy this building. And God strategically put me in this guy's life. And he got born again about the third day of this yacht trip. You've heard me say it before. I found out why they call it yachts. Because it costs a yacht of money to put gas in them. Blew me away. So when I got off this yacht with this guy, and he had a big candy apple on the side of it. He owned Happy Apples. If you go around, even still to this day, he passed. But it's still the largest candy apple distributor in America. And so I was on his boat and said candy apple. Then we got off of there, and there's another boat. Because, again, when you're with one yacht guy, they don't just park those anywhere. You always park them around other yachts. And you're around all these people. And so I was around when I was going to buy this building, and I never ever thought, because see, my dad always said, you know, we can't do this, we can't do that. So for me to buy this building, and it was $21 million, and we could get it for $6.3 million, for me to buy it, I would have to stretch my mind, because my dad hasn't passed that long yet, so my mind hasn't recalibrated. I wasn't who I am today. So in 2008, I was stretching. So God put me in proximity on those yachts. And when I walked around asking these people, what does that yacht cost? $20 million. What's that cost? $30 million. What's that cost? $100 million. Then what's that? That one there says privacy. What's that mean? Oh, that's Tiger Woods' yacht. It says privacy. And he was really wanting some at that time. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. And so I said, oh, look at all this. And then it hit me. I realized, wait a minute. I've never been around money, but if I had that kind of money, you know what I would do? I would buy Earth City. It wasn't called the Earth City Campus at that time. It was just called the Grand Prix Raceway. And I left that place thinking, you know what? If that person can sell people candy apples and buy a boat together at church, we could all raise our money and we could build a church together. And Julie did it. Come on, all these people, all these folks, y'all, they were with me the whole time. And everybody just give. We all collectively said, we're going to use what's in our hand to do what's on God's heart, and we built a church together team that changed a whole lot of war, and we can't drive it to the Bahamas, but we can actually affect the Bahamas. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. And we're making the needle move in heaven. The needle's moving in heaven, because that's what God cares about. Because trust me, when you get to heaven, there are boats in heaven. That's a whole other sermon. I saw them myself when I was there. I'll just leave you with that. Breaking. God wants to break him. Luke 9, write it down, I won't go there, but Luke 9 tells about a young man. And this young man came to Jesus' meeting. And the Bible said that there were 5,000 men. And they didn't mention women in those days. If you think we live in a misogynistic society now, you should have seen it then. And they did not mention women at all. But if there are 5,000 men and 5,000 women and no Netflix, how many of y'all know there was 27,000 kids? Come on, these people over here ain't agreeing with me, right? Anybody in here ever had sex? Raise your hand. Come on, y'all act like you ain't never did that. No. Oh, I know you. Uh-huh. Some guy like, I never. Well, with a look like that, you never will. You got to smile a little bit. Maybe somebody will be attracted to you. So, this little boy comes in. He's got 5 loaves, 2 fish, and the disciples came to Jesus, and they said, hey, the people are getting hungry. You've been having this meeting now for 5 hours, and they're getting hungry. I don't actually think it was the people. I think it was the disciples, because usually when people say they are getting hungry, they is them. Can I get an amen? I think Luke was aggravated. And they're like, won't he shut up? I've heard this sermon before. I'm ready to move on. They said, they're getting hungry. So Jesus says, hey, well, then why don't you go buy food for them? Which tells us what? They had money to buy food for all those people. So apparently the disciples of Jesus weren't broke. They were blessed. Luke was a physician. Paul was a tent maker. Think about all the professional things that they had going on. Plus they were blessed of God and the blessing of the Lord was on them. They were bringing gifts of gold to Jesus when he was a baby. I mean, the anointing of breakthrough and financial increase was on the life of Jesus in a big way. Some of y'all looking at me weird. You're like, I don't know. But this is real. You read the Bible, you'll find out. God is blessed. All blessing comes from God. He's got gold. When you get to heaven and you're like, oh man, you got your little gold bling bracelet on? That's just pavement to him. He'll be like, why are you wearing asphalt on your arm? He's excessive. He's too much. Gates of pearl, walls of jasper. He's excessive. He's so excessive, he just put gold in the ground in the world. He put diamonds in the mines. He put pearls in the bottom of like oysters that you could just go to the Tennessee River. I'm a diver. And you could dive down and pick them up there. It's just, he's excessive. He put oil in the ground. You've been thinking God's broke. He's not broke. So they say, hey, you know, Jesus, what are you going to do? So he said, go buy food. He said, we don't have any. There's no place around here. There's no Costco, no Sam's. We don't know what to do. Uber Eats doesn't work all the way out up in here. We can't do nothing about this right now. So he says, what do we have? What do we have in our hand? God's asking you today, what do you have in your hand? My dad had a trailer to travel around and preach to people and change their lives. I had a house that we could sell, and we used it to build God a house. What do you have in your hand? And so sometimes we're waiting for our ship to come in and we've never sent it out. We're waiting for harvest, but we never planted a seed. And so our whole life is a seed. What we do with our life, rich young ruler, sell what you have. What do we have here right now? They said, well, we have these 5 loaves and 2 fish. So watch what God does. God takes it in his hand, Jesus does, and he breaks it. He breaks it. I'm talking about being broken right now. He breaks it and he blesses it, and then it multiplies. He breaks it, then he blesses it, and it multiplies. So every time you break your financial scenario, you break the first 10% to give to God, you break an offering and you bless it, then God will take what you have and he will extend it. Now watch this. It feeds everybody. The Bible said in that passage I told you, they feed everybody, and it says that they were full, like burping full, like can't move full. I'm just tums full. Gas X full. Somebody ought to help me. I'm trying to describe to you right now. Just full. Massively full. Then, remember, only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now they have 12 baskets left over. 12. And we could go into the theology of that. Not only the 12 tribes, but the 12 disciples, the 12 stones, all this stuff. But just trust me now, they got 12 left over. Because God, when he's allowed into the area of whatever, your marriage, your money, whatever part of your life you allow God in, he'll start cleaning it up. He'll start organizing it. He'll start breaking it. And he'll take you from not enough to more than enough if you will allow him for you to make a kingdom difference. Now, again, I want to go back real quick about being broke and then having money. I can always tell new money. New money blings it out. New money has to show it off. New money's loud. New money's prideful. Old money's just so used to having money. It's normal. So I've watched a lot of people at our church over the years, some old money and some new money, and the new money people buy really nice horses, really nice horse trailers, really nice boats, really nice boat trailers, really nice tractor trailers to haul the cars to the show to show their friends what it is. And not a problem with that. I'm just saying that what happens if you don't put God first? Now, if you put God first, it works. If you don't put God first, what happens is if you get into such a materialistic world and it's so selfish, now your kids know nothing about God. So now when it's time for them to go to college, they don't know God. They know the horse show. They don't know God. They know the people at the boats. They don't know God. They know people at the marina. They don't know God, but they know people at the country club. And now when they call on God, they wouldn't know to call on God. So then they call on a therapist, and the therapist doesn't know. And now oftentimes they, next thing, because they're trying to fill a hole in their soul, it's some kind of prescription drug that the doctor that works for daddy gives them. And now they're eat up from the floor to the ceiling, and they're really never, ever prosperous. They got money, but they're not rich. But you can have both. But whatever you do, don't choose money over holistic prosperity. In other words, be happy in the trailer. Be happy with the car you got. Be happy with the girl that took you to prom. Somebody ought to help me right now, because you get money and then you trade your wife in because she's 40 and you get 220s. You ain't wired for 220. It'll kill you. You can't keep up with that. You don't know what you're talking about. This ain't good. I'm just fixing everybody right now. We got broke people, rich people, jacked up people, trading your wife in people. Come on, somebody. Stick with that woman right there, because you don't know if they really love you. Nicole, she checks me like that. I get in trouble for stuff I didn't even do. We were out with some people the other day at a restaurant. People kept wanting to go out and eat with us, and they took us out to eat. That's really cool. It was a neat experience. But Nicole looks around, all these rich people and all these older guys were like these 20-year-old girls. And she looked at me and she said, "You know, let me tell you something." Oh, yeah. She said, "Let me tell you something." I said, "What?" She said, come here. Here's the deal. She said, "Do you think that girl loves that guy?" "No." She said, "When you get to the position that you are, boy, you'll never know if a woman really loves you. I loved you when you were broke, and I made you who you are. So you know I love you, because I loved you when you had crazy hair. I loved you when you had a little broke Jeep. I loved you. I didn't do nothing. I didn't do that." I'm walking out of there like not trying to even say. Girl's like, "Goodbye." I'm like, "I ain't looking at nobody. I'm saying that to nobody." That's true. That happened. You can ask her about that right now. All right. We're almost. I got 6 minutes. I got to hurry. Luke 14. After 2 days of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the chief priests and the scribes sought that they might use trickery on him to put him to death. They're going to try to kill Jesus. But then they said, "No, let's not do it during the feast. There'd be an uproar among the people." In other words, politically, this would be bad for us. Let's wait to kill him till later. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, Jesus just sat at the table. He knew this was going on, but he's just chilling. And a woman came in having an alabaster flask, a very costly jar of perfume, and she broke it. Everybody shout, "She broke it."
She broke it.
She broke it and she poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves. They said, "Why is this fragrant oil being wasted? We might have sold it for 300 denarii and given it to the poor." And they criticized him sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good thing for me." She broke it. This girl comes up with this costly perfume. "Come here, Charles. Let me spray some of this on you. This will help you, because when you're praying for people, come here. This is curved. This is really good. Just one little shot. Just there. Boom. Just that's nice. Boom. See, there it is. It smells good." It's costly. She comes up and it says 300 denarii. Denarii is 1 day's pay. So she gave 300, which is a year's salary. She comes up to Jesus, and she takes it, and she breaks it. Boom. It's all over me now. It could never be put back in the jar again, because it's saturated. She broke it. Now, the person who really had a problem with it was Judas. Judas said, "Why didn't we sell this so we could give it to the poor. What he really meant was, why didn't we sell this so I could continue to steal the money that nobody knew that I was stealing? And Jesus knew. That's why I was trying to get the rich young ruler. But I didn't need one more guy who had a wrong relationship with money. Because God will run millions of dollars through your hands if your hands don't get sticky, if you will pour it. So really the person who qualified was really this woman who broke it. She said, this isn't about money. This is not about waste. This is about worship. And worship is never a waste. I'm giving everything. I'm not going to turn back. I'm going for broke. Somebody ought to say amen. And bam, she crushed it. And so many times, people never make it in life because they play it too safe. I went for broke when I bought this building. I went for broke when I bought Sunset Hills. Went for broke when we bought Weldon. Went for broke. Everything we've done, we just went for broke because it was all in. And we knew if it's God's will, it's God's bill. And where God guides, He provides. And so we're going to be supernatural channels of God's prosperity so that good would come to others. Break it. So I want us to be a church that is broken. Broken with the stuff that hurts God. Broken saying, God, I want to pour out my whole life to you. I want to give you my time, my talent, my treasure, my breath, my britches. Everything I have, I want to give it to you. I don't preach because I need the money. I was retired at 34 as a millionaire. I didn't need the money. I used my own money to do this. We gave everything that we had. We give our whole life. Why? Because people tell us every week, if you hadn't started this church, my marriage wouldn't have stayed together. If you hadn't started this church, I'm talking about all of us together. When Julie was here cleaning, when Big Jim was back there in the back, and he was there waiting for this beam to come out, and they were putting the concrete in, and we put that wall in, and we were so tired. What were we doing? We weren't building a church so we could impress the neighborhood. We were building a church that would make a difference in the world, and we've done that, and we're going to keep doing that, because if we're faithful over the little, somebody ought to help me right now, God will make us ruler over the much. But when are you going to take a hammer to not only a dime out of a dollar, but what belongs to you? Generous people are generous. I was with a homeless guy last night waiting on Ashton to get that hamburger. I was double parked outside, didn't want a ticket. And if you follow me on Instagram, you saw it. How many of y'all saw on Instagram that post and stuff? This homeless guy walks up to me with his dog. I said, sir, you're familiar with the shakedown, but this wasn't a shakedown. This was a legitimate homeless dude, and it's cold outside. And so he needed money, and I had money, so I gave him some. Now, that doesn't make a kingdom difference, but it made a difference in his life. So I threw him a little bit of money and blessed him and helped him and talked with him and had fun with him and his dog. And then Ashley came out and started feeding the dog French fries, and we had a great time. The dog needs Lipitor now, but other than that, it was a blessing in the dog's life. We blessed everybody. But my point is that what some people end up doing is they get so rich or they get so much money that they're not generous. My dad was more like this. I bet that guy needs a job. And that's one way of thinking about it. You got two arms, you got two hands, just because somebody looks healthy doesn't mean they're healthy. You don't know who was sexually molested. You don't know who was abandoned. You don't know who was hurt. You don't know what tripped the trigger. So I'd rather err on the side of just loving everybody and not judging anybody, because the Bible said, do not judge lest you be judged. And if I was homeless, I'd want somebody to help me, wouldn't you? If I was homeless, I'd want somebody to give me a blanket. The Bible said, when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you came and visited me. So err on that side, not on the side that, unfortunately, and you know how much I love my dad, I say it with all due respect, but sometimes it was a relearning curve for me because I only saw that. And I remembered last night my dad, because we were downtown St. Louis and we walked out of this restaurant and the homeless guy said, hey, do you have any money? And my dad said, why don't you give me some money? And the guy pulled out some money and gave it to my dad. Of course, my dad didn't take it. But I thought, wow, that really spoke to my heart. Because generous people are generous, even if they don't have much money. Jesus looked out over the crowd one day and he said, hey, this woman here only gave this one penny. But she gave more than everybody, because you with the horse and you with the car. And You with the pillows on the bed, and you with your nails did, and you with your movie popcorn. She gave all. It was a heart issue. God's not looking to be tipped. He's looking to be loved. And just here's the thing. As I said, Nicole told me, you'll never ever know again. You would never be able to get married again and really know if somebody loved you for you. And I'm telling you, God knows because He knows everything. But only you know if you're generous. Generous people give. Generous people say, you know, it's not my birthday, it's the birthday of Jesus, so I'm going to do what's in my hand. Once a year, we do this thing called the Banner Year Jesus Offering, and that's what we're doing today. This is a heart test. You don't have to give it all. You can stay where you are right now. Or you can say, I'm ready to make a difference in my life. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around. Say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, help me to pour out my whole life to help other people. I no longer want to be stingy. I want to give sacrificially so that good will come to others. In Jesus' name, amen. I know the ushers are ready right now. If you need one of these envelopes or these magazines, I want you to raise your hand if you want this magazine. Or you just want to, you have a magazine, but you want another one, an extra one. We've got them. Raise your hand high. I want to get one of these in your hand right now. This shows what we have done and what we're doing. Raise it real high. Don't be shy. Raise it high if you need one of these. If you don't need the magazine, but you're saying, Pastor, today is the day I want to participate in that offering. It's not my tithing offering. This is over and above giving. Today, you just need one of these envelopes that are inside this bad boy. They have some of those loose. And then on the back side, there's a place here where you can give with your MasterCard or Visa or Amex or Discover. And I just challenge you today to give. If you're going to give something big with your credit card to your kids, and it's not their birthday, but it's Jesus' birthday. If you're going to do something good for yourself, but it's not your birthday, but it's Jesus' birthday. We got this thing all wrong. Once a year, we need to say, hey, no, we're giving sacrificially in a big way. Maybe it's the first time you've ever given $1,000 or $3,000 or $5,000, $10,000. I remember all those phases in my life. And those are areas where you can say, today's the day. I challenge that. And when you're doing what this woman did, she poured it out and she broke it so that good would come to others. And there is just a little bit of a video that they're going to show because we're already beginning to dig the wells over in India. And they're on that. So check this out as the ushers come.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.